Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Stories from the Pack, brought to you by Walsancast. Richard Hobbs here, and we've got a slightly different approach on today's episode. It's the first one we've done where we're not interviewing just one person, but we're interviewing two. So joining me on today's episode, I'm joined by Chris and Louise Cobbold. Chris, Louise, how are you both today?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Yeah, really good. Doing, surviving lockdown. Our kids are a bit older, so they're 14 and 12, so homeschooling's not too bad for us, thankfully. Hence the reason we can come out and do this now.
So I was going to say, locked ourselves in my studio away from them.
So, Chris, are you sort of having to be teacher as well at the moment then?
Oh, sorry, Siri thinks we're speaking to him.
Sorry. It's all right. So are you having to sort of be a teacher as well at the moment, Chris, while Louise paints, or are you sort of both kind of having to juggle it at the moment?
Yeah, it is. Do you know what? That's not far out, actually. Louise spends sort of most, I'd say a good number of hours each day out in her studio painting. And for me, I'm kind of trying to keep the businesses around that going, but also making sure the kids aren't fighting or making sure they're getting on with their work, etc. So, but they're pretty decent, to be fair. So it's, I think, compared to some,
yeah, we can't complain, really.
Compared to some who've got youngest homeschool kids or even toddlers or babies, where it's actually you're quite isolated, I think we've got it pretty good, really.
No, definitely. As we do on Stories from the Pack, the aim is to learn a little bit more about fans' journey as a Wolves fan, where it kind of started and where it's taken, and also how they've channeled their passion for supporting the club. So I was really keen to sort of get you guys on because, incidentally, sort of when we were chatting before the recording, quite a few sort of interesting tidbits came out from that. But what we'll do is we'll almost go right back to the start of when you initially became a fan of the club. So, Chris, when did it sort of all start for yourself? Was it family orientated? What kind of got you hooked, I guess?
Yeah, so for me, it's probably slightly different to some Wolves fans on the basis that we live 2.5-3 hours away, sort of between Ipswich and Cambridge in Suffolk. And it was my dad's not from Wolverhampton either, but it happened to be the first FA Cup final he watched on TV, 1960. Okay. And it happened to be Wolves. And so even though he's from Suffolk as well, my dad, Keith, that was where he got his bug and always supported them from then. And then for me in 1983, I actually managed to somehow find this programme, but from 1983, Boxing Day, that's the actual programme. It's a Portman Road, with Ipswich, which is our local team.
Yeah.
40p, incidentally. Inside, basically, it's got Wolves mascots for the day, which is me and my brother. And managed to dig out a press piece as well, which is myself and my brother at the front, and then myself running out.
Local paper.
That was local Suffolk paper, but it's myself and my brother Andy running out. He's the older one at the front, and at that day, sort of with Mel Eaves and Jeff Palmer, they were sort of two people. So I think I've got, there you go. So that's myself and Andy with Mel Eaves.
Oh, fantastic!
So, and interestingly, we saw him.
Met Mellies recently, and I really wanted to reenact that photo, but Chris wouldn't do it, would you?
No, I was a bit shy to do that, but it was quite weird. And then also went and showed Jeff Palmer this picture as well.
Sort of a handshake of middle.
And yeah, and obviously they're pictures that these guys have never seen because there are photos, not theirs. And so that was probably my first sort of memory, even though I was probably 5-6 at the time. But actually, there is a memory slightly before that, which I think I was about 4 at the time. So it's 1981, which is a picture of myself and my brother with Emlyn Hughes at the old Wolves training ground.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So for me, it kind of stretches right back to then. There was also a time where, I can't remember this, but this is from my parents, where we met Derek Dugan, who was my dad's Steve Ball growing up, I guess.
Yeah.
And Derek Dugan called me Joe 90 because I had these really unfashionable national health glasses. And so, Joe, you might not know Joe 90, I'm guessing you won't, but it was kind of like a 60s sci-fi thing.
I can picture the glasses. I know my dad had a similar prescribed pair, very thick.
Body Holly kind of.
Yeah.
That's it. And so, yeah, so for me, from there, as a family, my dad also ran a Suffolk Wolves bus for a few years, sort of under the the Graham Taylor and Mark McGee time. So we didn't used to go up to every game, but used to go up to quite a few games over the years there as well.
Okay, wow. It's really interesting because I think a lot of the people we've probably had come on before us, I mean, have pretty much exclusively been in Wolverhampton and grown up in Wolverhampton. Their match day ritual would be very much you get on the bus, get into the centre of town sort of thing. And that's very much not the case with yourselves. And sort of, I find it fascinating that you've almost, I guess, kept that passion almost at a lot, you know, that long distance relationship up for, you know, the last sort of 30, 40 years, essentially.
Yeah, I think the thing is, and you'll know, I mean, whether you're from Wolverhampton, I mean, I remember Odin, I think he won Wolves Fan of the Year last year, and he's in Norway and he's got a museum dedicated to Wolves and people like that. So, you know, there's lots of, as we've found with your artwork, there's lots of obviously Wolves fans all over the world. But yeah, as we found as well, when my dad runs the Suffolk Wolves, a few out this way as well. So
I was going to say, I think whenever you go on holiday abroad or even in the UK, we joke about it in the fan cast quite a lot. You'll always bump into someone in a Wolves top somewhere. Doesn't matter if you're Spain, Cornwall, Lake District, wherever. There'll always be another one knocking about.
Yeah, you'll find them, particularly if you go out wearing your shirt. I've done that a couple of times. And even where we live, they'll come over and sort of introduce themselves as a Wolves fan as well. So it's interesting.
I was going to say, I'd be fascinated. I think Wolves are almost the perfect size club for that sort of relationship with other fans because, you know, if you're any bigger, you know, even if you're talking, you know, back in the 90s, let's say, if you are one of the mega clubs like a Man United or Liverpool, there's so many of them. If you see somewhere in a Liverpool top and you're another Liverpool fan, you're almost not blinking an eye. And if you're sort of too low, let's say Tranmere, I don't know why I'm going for like a Merseyside Northwest one with this, but there's always too little of them. So I guess like the Wolves, the Derbies, the Forests, those sort of middle, you know, upper championship at that point, lower Prem, you know, I feel like it's always really nice sometimes just bump into people like that, especially sort of when in places you're not necessarily familiar with. I mean, we talked about you were a mascot sort of way back when, I mean, and how that kind of, I guess, ignited a bit of a passion from your dad. Was it incidentally when you were showing me, when you sort of said about 1960 and you're sort of flicking, I looked behind me because incidentally I've actually got the 1960 program behind me. I was gonna say I can move my camera a little bit. It's just that one there. My brother got me for Christmas instead. You know, I was gonna say it's funny you mentioned that game. I mean, for yourself, I mean, apart from I guess that sort of early sort of few years, and you mentioned sort of Sherpa Van final sort of before recording, I mean, do you have any sort of, I guess, sort of idyllic memories of it, of the kind of a club when you're supporting them, whether it's sort of kits or, you know, I was going to say balls or even the players, sort of who were you kind of, I guess, what were your sort of most notable things supporting Wolves growing up? Especially if you're not
going back, that's more your kind of area of expertise.
So yeah, so it's kind of like, it's interesting actually, because you were talking earlier about match day routines and even though obviously we come further away, we still had match day routines. And so for us, it's kind of probably used to set off, I don't know, by 8 o'clock in the morning, I guess, to get to Wolverhampton, because we always wanted to be in Wolverhampton. And with the M6, you never quite know if you're going to come across an issue. But we wanted to get to Wolverhampton by about midday. So we had a favourite chippy, which I don't think is there now, actually. But we also used to go and pick up, I don't know if you've ever seen these, but this was the
a load of ball fanzines. Yes.
So that for me was a huge part of our routine. And we used to love the contributors and everything. Just, I don't know, just different, I suppose it's almost fan cast like, really, in terms of different angles on the game, not just what happens on the pitch.
I was going to say a load of ball. Definitely, if I think it's Charles Ross used to sort of do a lot of contributing work to it. You know, I'd love to get him on here for that sort of very reason, because, you know, fanzines were such a big thing not a million years ago. And, you know, in a way, things like podcasts and blogs have over sort of taken them in a way. But, you know, they were such a, you know, you had the match day programmes, which are, you know, the official kind of club endorsed thing, which growing up, I got one every week. Even when I was a season ticket holder, you know, and almost you just get into that routine as we save it.
That's my brother Andy, who was the program collector. I think he's got a lot of them as well.
I was going to say, were you a bit more of a load of ball? Because it always provides something different, which is always kind of quite.
Well, it's a bit like
in a way. It's quite a lot of humour in there.
It's a bit like the cartoons. The cartoons on the front and stuff. I mean, there's a few here, but they remind me. I don't actually know if he did them, but they remind me of the guy Bob Norton, who does a lot of Walsh related cartoons. Now they're just quirky angles on what's going on in the world as well. But actually, it's quite clever. Do you know what I mean? It's quite clever to be able to angle artwork. I suppose it's like Banksy, like a little bit in the sense that it's kind of like it's looking at different angles on stuff and trying to bring something that evokes thoughts and thoughts and memories. So that was load of ball was a big part of our routine. But in terms of players and kits, one of my first kits was obviously the I don't know if it's actually pictured. Was it a Tayton one in the program? It didn't have a sponsor on, but it would have been that one, so Louise did like a shirt painting for Steve Plant, which is like capturing Wolves shirts, home shirts over the years. But that was probably my first shirt. In terms of the first ones I remember, would have been things like the store distribution with the Sherpa van type one, where you had the stripes, but kind of different shades of orange.
Yeah.
And that would have been Bull 9 on the back.
Oh, yeah. See, this is another thing that has sort of cropped up while I've been doing this in terms of getting a name and number. And there is very much, I say a generation, people who are over the age of, 30. If you're having a number on the back, it was 9. If you have a name on the back, it was almost certainly 9 as well.
Do you know, I did make the mistake, and I've probably learned from this with my son's shirts over the years when choosing numbers, because I do remember having a Friedman 10 when Dougie Friedman played for us. And that was the shirt that we saw Robbie Keane make his debut for Wolves when he was 17 at Norwich. It's where he got two really good goals, very different goals, and did a flip for his second one. But it was the white shirt with kind of like green, like a green collar. That one I bought, which had Friedman 10 on the back, and he went quite quickly, actually. And so, I have to be careful. I think my niece, Sophie, she had Cotroni 10 recently on her back as well. Do you know what I mean? But Josh, my lad, had sometimes, at the moment, he's got a Raul 9 and a Neves 8 on two different shirts. My daughter, Amy, has Jota.
Jota
on the back. Same sort of example. But Josh also, for a few years, had Cobbold, and then his age, didn't he? Like, it says Cobbold 5, Cobbold 6, just each year.
That is a very solid way of doing it. And you can't necessarily go wrong, can you?
Yeah,
I was gonna say it's interesting. So, you mentioned sort of your children, you mentioned you're sort of Suffolk based, but you've sort of very much passed on the fandom of Wolves onto them as well. Then,
yeah. So Josh in particular is a big fan, but probably my nephew Harry is a bigger fan. And what I mean by that is Josh will watch the games on TV, whereas my brother and his two children, Sophie and Harry, they tend to travel up. When they travel to games, all four of them go, whereas
he prefers to sit and watch the matches in his own comfort of his own house. Right, I mean, there's probably been opportunities for him to come with us to Wolverhampton, but he much prefers just sitting at home. So he is a fan, but he's not, I wouldn't say, an avid.
He's not a diehard.
No.
I call him a fair weather fan sometimes, which is a bit harsh because he literally is. He does love Wolves, but at the same time, I think the distance we are away.
He doesn't like the journey.
So if I lived locally, we'd have a season ticket. Do you know what I mean? But actually, for years, he's played football as well on a Saturday afternoon. So other than the last 2 years where.
I mean, Josh was a mascot, wasn't he?
Twice. I don't
know. So when he was younger.
That was a Pope to Ipswich.
Yeah, in 2015.
Yep.
This was before really my involvement with Wolves, when I wasn't really particularly interested. I only went to maybe a couple of games, and that being one of them, where he was a mascot.
With George Savile, walking out with George Savile.
Yeah, Ipswich, when they played Ipswich.
Where a second time he walked out, which was the Everton opening game of when Wolves first came back, not first, but when they most recently came back to the Premier League, he walked out with Moutinho.
Yeah,
that is a good upgrade, shall we say.
So it sort of echoes the journey, I guess, that Wolves had been on.
I'd say that game is probably my most memorable, or one of the more notable ones, that particular game, because Josh was a mascot, and it was the first game of the season they were in the Premiership, and it was the game where my artwork for the programme was first seen. So that was quite a special day.
That was the Cody and Rickarlison.
I was really excited to see that.
Your art on the cover and Josh's mascot on the inside.
Yeah, that was really... I think they won.
No, it was 2-2.
2-2.
For me, over the years, I think in terms of players, it would have been the likes of Julian Lescott, John DeWolf.
Yeah.
He was very, very good growing up. Probably Dean Richards.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it's a lot of centre-halves in this collection. Several of them are my favourites, to be fair.
Paul Cook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say.
But for me, I think the thing is, for me, when I was younger, to kind of sum up kind of probably a little bit how obsessed I was, I used to play up front through my youth football and stuff. I had a crew cut.
Yeah, a bully cut.
Wore number 9. I had Quasar boots, just like Bully had at the time. And modelled effectively, even the way this is really embarrassing to admit publicly, but even the way he would run, he had this kind of way of running. Everything was modelled on Bully. So
there must be countless Wolves fans who did the same. I know, like, but Bully was slightly before my time, but knowing people again, sort of just about 5 years older than myself, you know, say, well, you could go to a hairdresser and you could ask for a bully cut, or it would be like, you know, yeah, you get trim, grade, bully cut, and just people would not, and all those sort of little things. And you know, I find
it's thrown out of that. Yeah.
I would say, so we can't move on to yourself, Louise, because as sort of alluded to, your journey into being a Wolves fan and your connection with the club is sort of very different and a lot more recent, I guess.
Yeah, it is. So, well,
four seasons,
kind of married into a Wolves family. My family being pretty much Ipswich supporters, apart from my dad, who's Burnley, because he's from Lancashire. Wasn't particularly interested in football. Not until it came from a painting I did for Chris of Ruben, his favourite player, and it spiralled since then. That's where the journey for me really started. So it's been really, it's all encompassing around my art, and it brought our two passions together. Football for him, art for me. I didn't see it coming really. So from that painting, I did a collection of paintings, say 13 paintings, which were then auctioned off to raise money for Cure Leukemia.
That was off basically the back against Steve Plant's
raising money for the car. Mm. So that's the kind of beginning of my journey with Wolves. And so really the last 3 years with four seasons, I've been very much entrenched really within Wolves. I've gone to most of the home games when they've been in the Premiership, and we've met so many people, players, fans, the Wolves team, staff, lots of stories from like the press room, because when we've been, we've gone to the press room, which has been a really great experience to have.
It's like it's kind of like the ticket you can't buy, but it's just because obviously the Louise's links are in with the media team.
It's just connections from doing the programs. The programs came very much out of that first collection I did to raise money for Cure Leukemia, and then obviously doing the two seasons. So my life has been very busy in and around Wolves. So I've got to learn all of the players' names, and particularly other players as well during the first season, because I had to paint both a Wolves player and an away side player. So I got to know the teams of the other Premiership teams. Chris helped me with the image selection, because that's quite a job in itself, actually.
So you used to say something like...
So you've got the first one, haven't you, in front of you?
The first one's this one. So it would be very difficult for me on my own to find the right images, find the right players with my limited knowledge. So Chris has been really useful for, like, which player do I use to go with Cody? And at the time, I probably didn't really know who were who, even on the Wolves team. I do now. So my interest has really been quite gradual, but I can't help but be completely interested, and it's sort of I've absorbed so much, and so my life now is still in and around Wolves, painting Wolves past and present. So it's been a really rich experience of understanding and growing in my knowledge of the Wolves team, much more so really in the last few years.
I was going to say, there are a couple of things that I find fascinating with that. In terms of sort of when it kind of started for yourself, because it started when Wolves were good, unlike so many other people, because... I say politely, a lot of people start supporting Wolves, let's say, when they're kids. So for a lot of people, it's usually when Wolves weren't particularly good. And it's just something you almost have since birth, in a way. And you just develop and you go through the heartaches and the aches and the pains. And even a lot of content stuff usually comes at a downward curve for Wolves sometimes. So, you know, the Fancast, for example, it originally started sort of the time we got relegated from Premier League, I was going to say under McCarthy, under Terry Connor, that sort of era. And we only really started to get traction when we were in League One, because the fan base was at its lowest ebb and it was just crying out for something a bit different. As I say, it's fascinating that you've almost kind of caught what felt at the time was the top of the wave for Wolves back in the Premier League. And it's just kind of gone up and up and up. And, you know, your, I guess, profile and your work's kind of almost correlated really nicely with, I guess, the trajectory of the club in recent years.
But it was actually, I would say, that if you look at the Fosun era, so that obviously kicked off in the Championship, that is, it's not the Louise era, that sounds too grand, but that's the era. The era in which Louise has been tied in with her artwork. What's really interesting, I didn't know if to say this or not, but just to sort of throw in here as well, just because I think it is relevant, but the month before she painted that first painting of Ruben.
It's
just down here.
So yeah. This is the first painting I...
So this was the one that went onto social media.
This is the first painting I painted.
Yes, I remember it.
Do you remember that, do you?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm sure I remember you getting shared, well, by yourself on social media, Chris. I was going to say, I'll save this verbatim, apologies. It was almost like, my wife's done me this magnificent painting and she's not a Wolves fan or something like that, wasn't it? And it was almost like, how could she almost do such an amazing job painting a player? Almost, because you've almost just painted a person.
But the interesting thing is, is that the month before she painted that painting, so we both have quite a strong faith, and so we're both Christians. And the month before she painted that,
it was January, so I painted that in February.
That's it. In the January, I actually prayed, because basically we both work for ourselves. Hmm. I was at the time working in IT recruitment, running my own company. Louise was doing her own art business, but nothing to do with football.
It was mainly commission-based
pets, yeah, families,
portraits,
that kind of stuff. We were also both involved in church, but in very different ways. And so my kind of prayer at the time was sort of open up an opportunity to kind of bring us closer together in terms of the time. So even when we're at home, we both work from home, it's still quite separate. And what I was expecting, like, was probably leading a youth group or 18 to 25 group at church or something like that. And then however people, you know, however people perceive it, a month later, Louise paints this painting. I place it onto social media. The next morning we said there could be something in this, not actually thinking back to that prayer at the time. And then ever since then, the last four seasons, basically 95% of our working time is Wolves and Louise's art. Yeah. And I just find that very interesting. And yeah, I mean, it feels too big to kind of leave out of this type of conversation, really.
No, it's that's really interesting that, you know, you're looking for something, I guess, to say, give more meaning, bring you together, and, you know.
Yeah. Just for our worlds to cross over.
Yeah. So yeah. This would have been the only thing that perhaps would have brought us together was football and art, but wouldn't have known how.
And everything that's happened since, it's like, yeah, it's really quite hard to get your head around in terms of, you know, so we can share some of those stories as we go, but it, just everything that's happened since, we wouldn't have, as Louise said earlier, we wouldn't have seen it coming.
I was going to say, that's fascinating. I guess sort of before we move on to, I guess, sort of more recent stories, the other thing that I kind of find interesting about picking up a sport later in life, particularly football. So the last couple of years, incidentally, I've got really American football. Don't ask me why. It started with trying to watch a Super Bowl when I was at university, but it's the last game of the season. It's like trying to watch the Champions League final and go, I'm going to start getting into football now, but it's not a game for 4 months. So a couple of years ago, I've managed to just about get into it and understand the rules. But I find it fascinating sort of picking up football later in life because, say, it's something for a lot of people that is ingrained, and even growing up in school, it's a very simple sport to understand. But the other side of it, as you kind of alluded to, there's quite a lot of players. And even if you sort of just try and learn all the Wolves players' names, I mean, if you include a development squad, you've got about 50-odd players there, plus having to sort of understand the intricacies of other people within a club, the managers, the coaches, mm-hmm. the hierarchy, and then multiply that for every team because, you know, on a weekly basis, that opposite, you know, the team you're playing against, they are the opposition, they are the rival, they are, you know, the one you want to take down. And, you know, you'll get people who get obsessed, well, me, I'll learn what I need to learn about that team by Saturday 3 p.m. by hook or by crook, I'll be on you know, fantasy football, see what their stats are like and everything like that. So how do you kind of go about, I guess, picking up a lot of this stuff? Was it sort of, I guess, sort of a lot of Chris's kind of football passion and sort of a bit of just picking up yourself then?
So it feels like I've done a really intense crash course over the last few years, and that's mainly guided by Chris, because his knowledge is actually pretty good all rounds, not just Wolves, as other teams as well. I think it's because your head's quite often in football and you're talking about football to other people a lot. And I've had to get my head around it because of what I do with the paintings, particularly the programme paintings. I've needed to understand. So yeah, it's almost like being thrown in at the deep end in a good way, because my life became Wolves paintings almost immediately, dropping very much the commission-based stuff or gradually fading it out. Was particularly when I was doing the two seasons of programmes, Wolves was... The Wolves paintings were primarily all I did. No time for anything else. So,
and literally sometimes, but like Europa Cup is with the notice you'd get to kind of turn something around. Louise would be, or the Molyneux 130.
I was only given a day and a half.
Probably a couple.
Well, 2 days.
Yeah, but it'd be literally Louise painting to half 11 at night in the studio. And so you're literally talking that going from sort of day to day, you know, consistent busyness with portrait commissions for people to suddenly pretty much parking that and everything becoming about Wolves and obviously working to deadlines because these are programs that are going to be out there the following Saturday.
Oh wow! I was going to say
I think it's the breadth and depth and the richness of the last 3 to 4 years, the interactions and it's so many things that have, I think, probably Louise has experienced and via Louise actually I've experienced more in the last 4 years or 4 seasons than I would have ever experienced in my whole life as a Wolves supporter had this not happened.
Yeah,
that's kind of to try and sum it up. I guess
it's really weird. I find it quite strange when I watch football, because for all of the Wolves players, pretty much, I've studied their faces for hours. So I feel like I know them really well. There is something strange about just watching the people that you have painted and spent so long looking at. So getting to know the names and that, I picked up really quick. And it's nice to be able to watch a game to know who they all are and their names. Definitely.
No, that's really interesting. Developing a closer relationship to the players via art as well. Because in between, you've got a photo of Connor Cody. It only sort of popped up today because I know as we're recording it, it's his birthday. And
yes,
I was going to say I don't know him. I've interviewed him once, so it almost sort of fall apart from that. But I shouldn't really know when this bloke, who is essentially a stranger to me, when his birthday is, how many kids he's got and all of this. But you've seen, it's a different kind of type of player because his personality just exudes with everything he does. But we almost know so much about these players a lot of the time, personality-wise. And for yourself, you view players almost through this kind of very different prism a lot of the time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean my journey actually has been enhanced because of the relationship that we have built with the players personally. If anything's going to bring me closer together with something or feel a part of something, it's the building relationships with the people. So that's strengthened my personal bond with Wolves, is that the relationships with the fans, particular fans on social media, the players themselves, it's the interactions that I've had.
And I think as well, I'd also say with Wolves, maybe every club says this, but I definitely think with Wolves, we've seen this through tribute dinners we've been to, where past players, Bully, Kenny Hibbert, etc., match day experiences. There's something with Wolves, it feels like they really honour past players. And so as a result, it kind of feels like we've entered this world of connection, not just with the current crop, but with legends from years gone by. And I find that really fascinating because, again, it's not the type of exposure I would have had this happened.
I think I'm in danger of perhaps taking it for granted, because as soon as I stepped into this space, I had the connection. I started having the connections with all sorts of different people. So I could almost take it for granted I know that's not what everybody experiences, but that's certainly what I've experienced.
It's almost like I said, for example, when we go into the press room, have a meal pre-game, go in, sit in the press seats. The biggest disadvantage of sitting in the press area, particularly for my personality, is that you can't really celebrate.
You can't react, can you? No.
You can't wear Wolves clothing.
I find that really hard. But actually, I just said to Louise, it's really important you understand and appreciate that this isn't usually how I watch football. We go to the chippy. Yeah. We wouldn't get fed.
Yeah.
And actually, to be fair, there's positives to both. Do you know what I mean? Being in with the fans. There's something about being in with the, I suppose back in the day in the South Bank, etc., when it was standing, terrace.
I feel really lucky to have met so many notable figures, say Mel Eaves, even Chris Kamara was there. Jackie Oatley,
Robert Plant.
Hooper.
There's been lots of people.
There's been quite a
few. Also players like we sit in the press room and you sat opposite. For me, putting in mind my obsession with Wolves growing up, you know, I'm sort of sat opposite Don Goodman, who and just chatting about his press duties that day and stuff like that. And I'm just like, this is just surreal.
Yeah.
Another funny example would be there was a tribute dinner for Steve Ball, which again, Steve Plant had organised. They're superb, those tribute dinners. And on our table, sat next to Louise, was Graham Turner.
Yeah, and I didn't know who it was.
and so they're just chatting away to Graham Turner. I'm just sitting here thinking, hold on, so this is the guy who brought Bully Handy Thompson to the club, and as we were growing up, kind of brought us out of this phase of like, you know, was he actually manager for Chorley? But do you know what I mean? He was bringing us out of a really difficult period. Yeah,
he was very much one who kind of drove a renaissance, I guess, into the early 90s and out of, the lower doldrums back to where Wolves kind of should be at the sort of the top of the second division.
Yeah, that's it. And so for him, he was such a key part of that journey. I'm just thinking, if you imagine stepping back in that situation, thinking, hold on, there's me sat here, then there's Louise, there's me, then there's Graham Turner, then there's Louise, and Louise just chatting away to him, not quite realising that I'm sitting there just like with starry eyes.
Yeah, trying to get words out.
Really stupid things because of it.
But no, he's such a lovely bloke. And, you know, and met Robbie Dennison that night, and Paul Cook was there, lots of other people.
Sitting on the table with the, what's his name, the chap that's now in charge of a lot of stuff at Wolves.
Oh, Russell Jones, the general manager.
And the comedian, he was there.
That's right. So just, yeah, and so I think it's trying to get that across as well, the fact that this is just surreal. It's not surreal for Louise, but it's surreal for me.
And I was going to say, it's really interesting that, I guess, sort of, again, Louise, you always just view them as people, whereas you, Chris, you view them as your idols, which, you know, you almost certainly will do. But I think you'll probably kind of agree with me that actually, as soon as you start speaking to them, we've been really fortunate with Fancast. Like, you know, we've got the chance to interview a few of these players over the years. You know, we got to interview Cody, Stearman, Dave Edwards, Jack Price, sort of that, as I say, a very sort of similar mould of players. And the club were really good in terms of saying, these are the ones who will be good for you. But you realise they're just normal guys. Yes. You know, after about 10 minutes, when you kind of get over the, oh my God, he's a Wolves player. Oh my God. Yeah. And then you go, actually, no, you know, Dave Edwards joking to us about how bad his Football Manager stats are and stuff like that. You can't go, actually, you know, again, same with Connor Cody, and just, he is just an incredible normal guy. Yeah. Very outgoing and stuff like that. And he, you know, if he was in any other walk of life, he'd excel at what he did, and he'd almost certainly be a manager, of a team in a workplace. But he'd just be normal. You wouldn't see him as a footballer.
We very much found that talking to, probably also the English players, just because with the Portugal players, there is a language barrier, but the conversation is probably...
They're slightly more introvert.
And so the players like Ryan Bennett, he was just normal to talk to. Gibbs White.
Gibbs White. So Gibbs White was basically, so last season, the Premier, when Louise did the black background, the second season, the black background portraits, we were in Molyneux reception, often meeting players before the game, sometimes before the game, because he was injured at that point, or after the game. We met Bob Gibbs right before the game to hand over his painting that he bought off Louise. And just with, you know, so that's Paul in itself, you know. And so, but then as we start talking to him, Louise says to him, oh, do you realise...
You've still got your tag on your shoes.
So he had these nice white trainers. So he realised you still have this tag on your trainers.
Yeah, he did have a big tag on
it. Actually like this long, wasn't it? It was quite big.
And I'm thinking, well, surely he knows that there's a tag on it, but maybe he doesn't.
and he was like, that's how it's supposed to be.
It's fashion.
Oh,
but, okay. It was just fashion. Oh.
Yeah.
But just little things like that. And I think, but at the same time, I think I'm with you now in the sense that whilst I don't ever take for granted this kind of these connections into the players, I think at the same time, you do get to realise quite quickly, do you know, there are idols, but they're just normal, good guys. I think Wolves at the moment have a really good group of guys, characters.
Oh, yeah. Someone I forgot to mention. John Ruddy, such a lovely guy, really lovely. His family as well. So we've met him a few times. Can't speak highly enough of him. He's probably one of my favourites We actually gave
Ruddy gave John a print. We'd seen him in the corridor outside the press room after a game, and said to, just went up to him and said to him, it's my wife who does the paintings on the cover. And she got chatting to him and his other half and said, would you like a print? We'll give it to you. You don't have to pay for it, type thing. And they were just blown away by the gesture. The next thing we know, or a couple of months later, Louise gets a message and saying, would you like our box for the Brighton game? We can't use it as a family and stuff like that. And it's not about the fact that he did that, but through that and through the conversations on the stairwells with individuals like him, you just get to see, like, because sometimes Ruddy gets a hard time from fans. And I think I watch him I watch him on the TV as he's kind of like clapping people in or shaking their hands as they kind of come to change him. I think it's a bit like when Danny Batt was at Wolves towards the end, got a hard time, but you look and think of the influence on the club. You can't just have a group of Portuguese guys who kind of they're settling into the country, but you need certain core.
I bet he's such a great person to have around.
I mean, I've seen sort of those similar clips of when they're coming into a dressing room. He's, you know, he's high fiving them all kind of as they go in at half time or at full time, and I think it's interesting you say that, and I think Wolves have tried really hard under Foz, and actually I think probably as a culture generally they've got it wrong a couple of times and a couple of notable examples, but they like to buy people with kind of good characteristics and of good stock, so to speak. And I think particularly under Nuno, under the Foson regime, they haven't had many who have been sort of, you know, people who will upset the apple cart. And I feel like it's, to be fair, I think it's a football thing in general to a degree, and I think it's a lot of people trying to change the kind of a culture, because I know Man City is very similar, and that after they got money, they got quite a few bad apples in, so the likes of Balotelli, Adebayor, Tevez, and you're going to get a very toxic environment very quickly. But now they only sign very few players, and they are really selective to make sure that they will bring you no bad PR and stuff like that. And I think, you know, you even see like Neto in his interview last week, was it, about, you know, his mum telling him to shoot more. And don't get me wrong, it's fun PR, but it does kind of show that they're really nice people at the end of the day, which is what you've got to...
Shows as well how young he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? But in a good way, in the sense of look at what he's delivering and look how young he is. So, yeah.
I was going to say, sort of, for yourselves, and what, apart from, I guess, the first... programme and a couple of the first instances, what are sort of the notable moments for yourselves over the last couple of years on sort of your, I guess, sort of your journey adventure in terms of for Wolves art?
Notable moments. So in terms of games, I would say the game that we mentioned with my first programme cover, but the other one that stands out would be the quarterfinal against Man U at Molineux.
It was the atmosphere
that really kind of blew me away a bit. Just it was you could not feel caught up in it. It was pretty amazing. That one, and I mean that one, the program for that was very, very different as well. It went down really well, I remember.
You've got it there, I think, actually. That's the Solskjaer and Nuno.
Yeah, so that was in amongst all the white programmes, but they wanted something different, so I did it with the black background, which prompted the next season, this one. What else?
I'll give you another...
Wembley.
Oh,
yeah, that was definitely...
Pre-match.
More the pre-match. So we went to the Wembley... me, you, and
semi-final.
Our daughter came to that one.
Yeah, because Josh was actually in Barcelona with his school at the time.
She was really affected at the end.
When we lost.
Yeah, she was like, oh, is this what it's like? Because I don't think she'd really experienced anything like that before. The build-up was brilliant.
That was like the fan zone they had just up. Near Wembley Way.
Couldn't forget that one. And it was very strange for me. So I had... a number of people coming up to me sort of who knew who I was, and I was quite taken back, by that sort of reaction. I wouldn't have thought that so many people would actually recognise my face, who I am.
I think one of the moments for me I'll remember over the last two or three years. It's very funny actually, where Louise had done this commission for for Ruben, and Ruben usually asks for commissions of his family. Do you know what I mean? He's not someone who wants pictures of himself and his football all around the house. But she'd done this. It's 1.2 meter square. I don't know if you can see that.
Okay.
That was the when he scored against Man United in the quarter final, actually.
Yeah.
It looks like a free kick actually, but I think that was just the moment he actually got the ball. Ball came across him on the edge of the area and he put it top corner. Anyway, that's in Molyneux reception again, where we were handing over the painting. And we to get this painting, because it was 1.2 meters square, we had to borrow Louise's dad's car.
It wouldn't just fit in any old car.
Wouldn't fit in my Focus, we had to borrow his car to get up to Molyneux. And after the game, so we were chatting to him in reception, I just said to him, Ruben, do you want us to actually come to your car just to make sure it fits?
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't mind. So the first cool part of that was we went left out of Molyneux reception, sort of as you come into Molyneux reception, we went left and we'd never been that way. And you go through the place where the tunnel is for the players. Mm. And so as we were walking through, it was the day we'd lost 5-2 to Chelsea, I think, where Vallejo played centre-back. And we're walking through this press either side. So I don't think we almost should have been there. There's the media guy, Max, looking at us, thinking, kind of, what are you guys doing here?
Looking at painting.
I'm walking with this big painting through. And then we walk, and Tammy Abraham's on his mobile phone in the tunnel area. Then we're walking down the side. There's Ruben Venegra up post-match. Anyway, we get to the south bank and we've got to get up the steps to get through to the other side where the player's car park is. And Ruben says, do you want some help? And at this point, I'm slightly overweight and I'm kind of thinking, oh, man, I actually could do as well. So it's Ruben carrying the front of the painting, me the back, and I feel like the Chuckle Brothers, if you remember who they are.
Yeah.
And then as we come into the player's car park, the other side, there's the opening at the end where the fans stand trying to get autographs of players. And so fans are looking in here. There's me and Louise walking this painting. And we approach Ruben.
As soon as we saw his car, we thought, that's not going in there.
We're just thinking, that isn't, but we try. We try to get it in there. And as we're trying to get in there, it's blatant it's not going to go in there. Then Ruben Venegra and his other half pull up just behind. So, do you want to try and get in our car? And so we tried to get it in their car. Could we get it in there?
No,
you know, we're not special enough to have a car park place at Molyneux. So I then say to Ruben, do you want me to bring it to your house? Or do you want us to bring it to your house? And he says, yeah, if you don't mind. And so we dropped off a commission at his house before, but I didn't have his address on me. So he gave me his address again. We then walked a mile down the road to West Park where our car was parked with this big painting there. I don't want to damage this. And then we drive to his house. And he's really, really grateful. He comes out and he gives Louise this. Hold on a second. So he brings this out for Louise as a thank you.
Oh, wow.
Which is basically it's sort of embroidered just here with the match. It was from about a month earlier where he obviously played for Portugal. So his match shirt. And he brought that out and just said, gave it to Louise as a thank you for us kind of obviously going the extra mile to bring his...
I mean, he's such a lovely guy. Really lovely guy.
Yeah, so for me, that was a very unusual but
very
special
very surreal moment.
Completely.
Try to sort of fit something in the back of a car where you know it's not going to fit. It doesn't matter if you're a footballer or a salesman or whatever. We've all been there and it is a nightmare, especially if, you know, you've got people waiting for you. And so, you know, I think it stands testament to yourselves and to him in a way. I was going to say, before we kind of finish up, the only other point I'd sort of had, I've been sort of thinking about is alongside yourselves, there's always been a slightly different, but similar, I guess, an influx of really, really fantastic sort of graphic design artists who are Wolves fans as well, have kind of cropped up in recent years as well. And I find it fascinating that, around the same time, forgive me if I'm incorrect, I don't know whether it necessarily started with yourself or, I guess, similar time, sort of the amount of, I guess, sort of really strong, I guess, creative Wolves fans there are at the moment out there.
Yes.
You know, in particularly from an artwork perspective, as opposed to, I guess, creative from doing a, you know, a middling podcast.
Definitely. Well, I think, so Ben, who's doing the programmes this season, the first one I remember seeing from him was the off the back of the Wembley semi-final. Yeah. I think he did one of Raul.
Yeah.
That I remember. Really good, a really good kind of like photo montage and graphic design around it. And so Ben, obviously, but there's others I've seen, like, I think there's Paul Maskew.
We knew of Jodie Craddock's artwork, obviously.
Jodie, of course, crikey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was doing a season of kind of Wolves history of in kind of, because I think his usual style is really detailed, which he wouldn't have been able to accommodate to do a season of programmes like oil paintings. And so he did kind of these...
Oh, pen and ink drawings.
Sort of cartoon style, I think, the season before your definitely seems to be, it definitely does, answer your question, it definitely does seem to be a rich... But even I would say wider than Wolves, just the artwork space on. But it seems lots of more sort of design and kind of painters. But there seems to be a lot of emerging people who find it interesting.
Over the last sort of 2 years, more and more, I'm seeing more football based artwork come up, not just for Wolves, but sort of across the teams. Mm. So it's definitely something that's growing. Artwork within Wolves teams, or an artist that's linked to a team. I think there's even been some programmes that have incorporated an artist to do their programmes outside of Wolves.
Well, there was the guy Paul Clay for Stoke, I think, did some watercolour type stuff last season for Stoke.
Interesting that it sort of transcends beyond Wolves, I guess. And, I think Wolves are an incredibly unique team, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I assume like a lot of all this does happen at other clubs as well, which is interesting.
I would still say it's quite rare in terms of actual programs.
Okay,
it's not that common.
I think Wolves definitely. So the two seasons Louise did the covers, the sort of Premier League and Europa ones, sort of both won awards. But interest not just for the covers, but for the content behind it, because I think one of the things we've definitely been able to see through our links with Mark. Mark Ridgway, who does the programmes, who's a programme editor, he's part of the team, but obviously leads the team who do the programmes, is the amount of time. Even the first season, they did like a sticker book initiative, if you remember.
Yeah.
And just the amount of time and effort that goes into trying to... Because I guess programmes, it was a thing a couple of seasons where they were thinking of, not Wolves specifically, but they were thinking of almost stopping them in the football world.
Yeah,
Wolves seem to put a lot of energy to kind of really keep it alive.
I think Wolves have... done quite a lot of interesting things marketing wise over the past since Fosun joined, and again sort of little tidbits for the fan cast get, but a few of us sit on a fan experience working group, and I think stuff like programs has cropped up before, and a lot of the pre-match stuff comes up. But yeah, there was a point where I think they've now changed the regulations, but for countless years clubs had to produce a program. Mm. Which is why everyone does one. Whereas I think they've changed it now where it's not a necessity. But it's interesting that Wolves have almost lent into it to actually make sure, well, hang on, if it isn't a necessity, let's make sure that people are really interested in it, and whether, you know, you capture their imagination by the front cover or the content that's within it, I guess.
That's it. It's interesting that they
spanned over at least four seasons, and it was purely artwork, whether digital or painting, four seasons. I don't think another club has done that.
And even the first season where Louise did the home and away player, that was really unusual.
Yeah,
it was. Because you can almost very much clearly see programmes for me growing up, it used to just be sort of one player, snapshot from the last game, or, you know, they'd have sort of a centre feature sort of thing. So
that's it.
So I painted them separately and they got combined together. We have a designer we use that does this.
Yeah, Andy's brilliant.
But I don't know if you know, but that season, all of those individual paintings, they were all signed by the players themselves, home and away. And those paintings then all got auctioned for charity. It was a mixture of charities.
So Good Shepherd Ministry.
So we don't have any of them here. They're all
Race Against Blood Cancer, YMCA Black Country, and
they were chosen.
The Cure Leukemia.
They were chosen by
Carl.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so that's the other thing. I think part of our story really is that sort of to be honest with you, it sits more in the background. But probably over the last four seasons, not when I say we, it's not actually us, actually. It's the Wolves fans have raised like over 60,000 for charity.
Well, I was going to say, I've made sort of a mental note because sort of the, I guess your charity work's kind of cropped up a little bit throughout this. And as I say, sort of whether it's donating them or using it directly. And even the Jimenez one just recently and the amount that was raised for that, I do think that.
I think that was about 8,000 from a raffle. What was it, £2 yeah. a ticket, I think. Maybe that was £5. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't. But the thing is, just is that this is the other thing. When you talk about the sort of, when we talk about Louise has sort of been doing this artwork for 4 years, it's the richness of that experience. And I think part of that, it's so two-way in terms of with the fans, the way the fans, like Wolves News, Wolves-News Facebook page, Wolves Fancast. I think you guys actually... yeah, I don't know if you actually mentioned our book or not, but when we did this together, We Are Stronger book, it was kind of basically like how one painting ignited like a fundraising phenomenon. I think the whole journey from the start has been this sense, and there'll be lots of other Wolves fans, like Manny. There's a story around Manny as well, which is very funny. When he basically posted a picture after the Man City game on social media, on Twitter, saying, I'm going to be on the next cover. And it was a picture of him. It's a really nice picture, actually, with him at the stadium in the background. That wasn't that one. It was the next one. And so he posted this picture. I'm going to be on the next cover in response to Louisa's post. And then he posted this picture separately. And so me and Louisa had a chat. We said, I'll be funny just to kind of like do a mock-up.
Really quick mock-up.
Yeah. So she did this. And this was like...
It's not that...
I was going to say, I like how you go. Yeah, I'll just knock up a really quick painting.
It's obviously Manny, but it's not. You know, if she was doing that properly, it would take a lot longer. But anyway, just the fun. And again, off the back of that, Manny's social media completely exploded. But there's been so many interactions like that.
He had to come off a bit
because at the time he wasn't used to it. But wow. You know, such a fantastic bloke. But you know, so many people. I mentioned Steve Plant a few times. Fantastic bloke. And But the thing we see about Wolves fans is, you know, there's love for the club, but they're also incredibly generous.
Yeah.
Because you know, Jason Guy, you know, Neil Taylor, these guys who have raised, you know, sometimes hundreds of thousands, not tens of thousands for charity. But the thing is, you can only do that when the supporters buy into it. And I think what there's been this unique sort of blending and sort of sparking between Louisa's painting, the fundraising, like good causes, and Wolves. And I think that's been a powerful... So whereas now, I think, we, rather than doing so many auctions or raffles ourselves, we do occasional raffles.
Yeah, they're quite time-consuming.
We try and feed into kind of like supporting people who we have a relationship, some of those names I've mentioned. Like, and that's where the prints that we do become really helpful, because you can kind of create special one-off prints that are different to what's available in our online shop. And so what it does is it allows, you know, they're used as quite good resources, I guess, to be able to raise money, because people connect with the artwork. If you create something a bit different, a bit special, and, you know, quite a lot of money can be raised for it. But all of that stuff has come together to really pull not just Louise, but myself in. So that, you know, even though we're 3 hours away in Suffolk, we just feel at the heart of the Wolves family.
No, completely. And I think, it touches upon something that I think makes the club genuinely special. Say the amount of people who dedicate a lot of time, money, and resources to fundraise, and there's one thing trying to do it, but you need people to actually donate money off the back of it, and that only comes from either people themselves and their personalities and how much they care, but also having people who are willing to kind of separate from their money, so to speak, I guess. And I think what
I think it's partly, I think it's partly like the money that's being given, but I think there's just this generosity. Do you know what I mean? So it's not just about the money that's raised; it's the generosity behind it's the heart behind the fundraising. And I think that has so Steve Plant did that penalty shootout fundraiser, which was before Louise had come on the scene with her artwork. and it just pulled fans together. And yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think Laurie at that time, you had Laurie and Jeff who were inviting fans to the pint, to the pub for a pre-match pint.
Yeah.
And there was this kind of like togetherness that I do think makes Wolves unique, although we're obviously
and
biased.
You can definitely see that with the Raoul banner as well, and how much the fans got behind the concept of creating a huge banner to kind of wish Raoul well.
I was on the fan working group when that got suggested, and sort of very quickly, not necessarily me at that point, but within the group, it moved very quickly into working out actually how much do we need to raise and things like that. And the printing company, whose name I've completely forgotten.
DIS.
There we go. I'll give them a little plug. They waived, I think it was either 50% of the...
Well, they did it. I think he did it for $7,500, which was cost price. I've got a feeling it should have been closer to like 15 or maybe even 20. I don't know.
They did it for essentially half the price because it's such a huge thing. And the money, that just to cover the cost, it was done in about an hour. And you go, wow.
I know. And it just, Kieran Newey, who kind of organized, well, he was at the forefront in terms of the face of that, was absolutely superb. But for Louise, I think as well, you haven't had the program artwork, the fundraising, but I think that the Raoul banner for her to be able, because she actually designed that using five of her paintings, including the wolf, for her to have her artwork blown up, because obviously Ben's got his brilliant montages behind in the South Bank. Lobos Wolves have the couple. Underneath. There's a, like, the Out of Darkness Come Apply, I think there's another one. And then for Louise to have her artwork of Raoul features, that was huge,
moment.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty.
It was almost the cherry on top of the icing of the journey, really.
Yeah, and going back when you were talking about memorable, notable moments, that is up there, definitely, the banner. And seeing that on the TV, because obviously we haven't been able to go there. To
I was going
to
say that's probably been the one disappointment, I guess, for it is that this magnificent, huge piece of work. And, we've all viewed it, but I don't think we've seen it. That'd be the right way around, if you know what I mean.
Yes, know what you mean.
Yeah.
We've put a request in, or can we have one of the sections? But goodness knows what we'd do with it.
Well, I was going to say, I'd be fascinated. I think it would take up probably wrap it around
put
the it studio.
Our neighbours might not have that one.
I was going to say, they might not be as keen. We summed up, I guess, sort of what being a Wolves fan means to yourselves in terms of, I guess, the togetherness. So I guess sort of what I'll end it on, and I'm fascinated at this point, because we've talked about how since Louise, you've kind of been associated with the club and been a supporter, it's been an upward rise. But yes. I guess this season has been very different in a way, and almost Chris could probably relate to this more, that it's been very indifferent this season. So, just to kind of almost get right up to it here and now, sort of, I guess, how are you finding sort of Wolves at the moment, I guess? Are you sort of feeling a bit indifferent, or are you feeling a bit more positive now? We've got a couple of good results and we're sort of sitting a bit, I was going to say, nicely in mid-table now.
So a lot of what I see is through social media. And I know how toxic that can be. And I think I've really recently realised how not all fans, but some fans, how fickle that environment can be in terms of what's said.
Don't you think as well that it's the fact that because people can't go to games, they can't, whereas you'd usually get rid of the kind of frustration of the pub after the game, we wouldn't, because we'd be on our way back to Suffolk, but for most people, and whereas at the moment you can't watch the games, there's the frustrations of what's happening on the pitch, and next thing you know, you're unloading without thinking. You're just keyboarding, or using your phone. Just the other thing as well, just as a side point, Louise could show you the latest painting that she's done. She continues to paint Wolves past and present, and she's done a painting, but she hasn't actually shared the finished result of it.
So fantastic!
Haven't been shared on social yet,
but it's quite a special moment in the Wolves journey. So hold on,
just sitting here,
That's
the one I've very recently completed.
Oh, fantastic.
Hopefully you know who it is.
Yes, yes, I know Sir Jacko, who it is. I was going to say, I'm 28, don't worry.
No, but it's kind of like, I think that's, I just feel when it gets to the end of the, because I said to Louise, that'd be really cool to be able to just share that, because she hasn't actually shared it yet. She only finished
it. Oh, fantastic.
And, but yeah, it's, I think it's that keeping, I think the sort of, in terms of what now as well, I think part of it is about, because 95% of your time is basically Wolves now. So I suppose what does it mean for Louise to be a Wolves fan? Part of that is, well, it means most of her day, most of her week is painting Wolves players, past and present. But I think that's the thing we've talked about, isn't it? Kind of like, it would be good to almost capture Wolves history on canvas.
Yeah.
Not in one canvas, but on multiple canvases.
Yeah, because I feel that my art to date has mainly been around the current players. So it's been nice more recently to kind of go back with Chris's help, just the knowledge of the who to paint and which pictures to or which images are would be best to paint in relation to, are they the most popular ones? Like, for instance, that Sir Jack, we went through a whole variety of images, and actually, Chris, you were very much, this is the one that that he feels connects well with the fans.
That was the moment we kind of believed when he did that to the camera.
I was going to say, like, it's interesting because I've only just put it all together, because obviously it's just, for anyone who's listening to this audio-wise, we're recording this on Zoom, and I could see the rosette just in the corner next to Louise. I was like, is that some sort of award she's got? And just it's just sort of there. But I've realised it's the rosette he was wearing on the day. And it's only taken me up until now to sort of piece it together.
We haven't talked about a lot of this stuff, have we?
It's such an iconic photo. Of Sir Jack, you know, with the thumbs up as well.
It's not a photograph, though, interestingly.
Isn't it?
It was never a photograph. It's a still.
It's like a TV still, I think, time.
There was no photograph been taken, which is why the source material isn't very sharp. And it wouldn't be an image that I would have picked off my own back, because it isn't very clear. But it is the best.
It's the moment of Sir Jack. Then you've got kind of Pedro above, it's sort of old and new, and I think that kind of sums it up, really. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say, it's very much sort of, from sort of a very defining point of Wolves' recent history up until now, I guess, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much both for joining me today. It's been fascinating to learn, again, about how you've been Wolves fans, and again, very unique, which I wasn't necessarily expecting, you know, an hour ago, that it would be that you've grown up in Suffolk even, and now to get a 2.5-hour bus up to Molyneux to, you know, some of the fantastic things that have came across your artwork from today. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Great.
Nice to meet you as well.
I was going to say, and hopefully we can kind of catch your thoughts along the season as in the next coming weeks as well.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Rich. Yeah. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Hi everyone, Matt from Wolves Fancast here. If you're anything like me, time is of the essence these days. How am I meant to take training with my wonder kids on the managerial football simulation game that I'm not allowed to mention for legal reasons if I'm too busy worrying about my online media presence? Well, that's where our friends at pixelyetimedia.com come in. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all of your design needs, from websites, brochures and signage, to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They'll get you set up quicker than Adama Traore running at a terrified left back. Speaking of which, who's got my baby oil?